Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you this morning. There's a story of an Episcopal bishop who was driving with his wife to a parish visitation. But to his detriment, he ran out of gas on the way. And his wife said, "Well, we just passed the gas station a couple hundred yards back. It's not far." So the bishop scrambled to find a container for the gas, and the only thing he could find was a training potty that they had in the trunk of the car for their grandson. So he grabbed it and walked back to the station to get some gas and carefully walked back, carefully not to spill any gas. And at this point, a new pastor at a startup non-denominational church was driving by, recognized his fellow brother in Christ, and thought he'd pull over to see if he could help. And as he walked up to the car, he noticed the bishop pouring the contents of the potty into his gas tank. And the new pastor gasped and said, "If I knew that they had that much faith in the Episcopal Church, I never would have left." In true faith, there is an assurance of God's moving. In true faith, there is an assurance of God moving. By that, I mean there is a persistence that constantly moves us toward God, to receive more, to grow more, to know God more. In our lesson today, we see a perfect example of that. Jesus is on his continued trip back to Jerusalem. Again, there have been some powerful encounters and wonderful teachings going on along the way. All of that took place in a distance that's about the same distance from here in Sarasota to Fort Myers. We have covered several of these encounters over the last few weeks. We saw the rich young man who wanted to inherit the kingdom but couldn't give up what he worshiped the most. We saw the Pharisees try to trip Jesus up over the laws concerning marriage and divorce. We also saw the disciples arguing over positions and wanting to sit at the right and the left hand of Jesus in heaven. We saw Jesus talk about servant leadership and giving of oneself to others. Now they are passing through Jericho on this journey back to Jerusalem, and there is this encounter with a blind man named Bartimaeus. At that particular time in history, the only means a person with this condition would be that of begging. Socially and theologically, his only knowledge of the law would be only what those who have relayed that to him. Whereas begging was an acceptable practice for one in that condition, he would be considered a social outcast. His limited functions hindered his ability to take part in temple traditions. A beggar carried with him a cloak. It was a cover by night and a bucket of sorts by day to receive the coins and the food that was thrown his way. And here comes Jesus with a large crowd starting to gather around him. People were probably shouting his name as he approaches, and this captured the attention of Bartimaeus. I want us to look at three things that happened during this encounter: the response of Bartimaeus, the response of the crowd, and the response of Jesus. Let's look at Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus has a heart that is burning for something, and it goes deeper than just his eyesight. There is something he knows deep down inside about Jesus from what he's heard. And as Jesus approaches, there is this human dynamic going on. The crowd that they have is all around Jesus as well. Many of them are excited about seeing Jesus and what he has done. They know there is something different about him. But look at the difference. Out of the noise of the crowd, out of the commotion and frenzy of the moment, a movement of the people, a voice rings out above the others. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And we need to note here, the term Son of David is a designation that the Messiah is in the line of David. Bartimaeus had an attitude of hunger for Jesus. Bartimaeus had a voice persistent in faith. The crowd, on the other hand, had actually tried to shut him up. "You're just a beggar. What would Jesus want with you? But Bartimaeus knows where his hope lies. So he cries even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He cries out the truth of who Jesus is. He cries out the truth of what Jesus has to offer. Bartimaeus had this deep faith in Jesus. His faith was so strong, it's like knowing your own identity. And even though he was blind, he sees something in life, in the life giver himself. Bartimaeus sees in the heart where new life can come from. And he sees that in Jesus. He probably had more vision on that street than many of his fellow Jews had. And he knew if he could just get the attention of Jesus, he would receive from him. And out of this crowd, people yelling and shouting different things at different times, not unlike you would hear at a sporting event, Jesus pauses. He hears the words of faith. More than likely, it's just like the woman who wanted, all she wanted to do was touch the garment of Jesus. Jesus felt the faith going out. He knew in his spirit faith was being released. The cry for mercy moved him. So Jesus calls him forward. Now this is what is fascinating. Look how the attitude of the crowd changes from that of rebuking the beggar to one of almost praise. Oh, look, he's calling you. Come on. But also look at the enthusiasm of Bartimaeus. We are told that he threw his cloak aside and jumped to his feet. Now remember, his cloak is all that he has. This is his day blanket that he sits on. It's where he gathers his food and the money. And this is all he has. And he throws it aside. And he is in his blinded condition. He throws it and he goes to face up with Jesus. It's like he knew this was his moment. He knew Jesus would do something. And Jesus asked him a question. And it's the same question that he just asked James and John up the road. Bartimaeus, you called me. What do you want me to do for you? That might sound like a silly question. The man is blind. But Jesus is reaching deeper than just the physical here. He is reaching into the very heart and soul of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus puts his faith into action. He said, and most translations say this, Rabboni. Now our translation we read today is Rabbi, but most translations say, Rabboni, let me recover my sight. Rabboni is a higher acknowledgement of a rabbi. In other words, Bartimaeus recognizes more than Jesus, more than just being a teacher. You see, a plea for mercy is a plea for forgiveness. Bartimaeus is seeking forgiveness first. A plea of redemption. Then, as he is facing Jesus, he says, I want to see again. The faith of Bartimaeus was then revealed. It was unleashed. Bartimaeus is putting his entire being in the hands of Jesus, not just his eyesight. And Jesus said, your faith has healed you. And two things happened here. One, Bartimaeus got his physical sight. But most important, he got a new spiritual sight in the reality of who Jesus is. He can now live out his life in faith, receiving. God had planted something in the heart of Bartimaeus, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that if he just cried out to Jesus, he would get what he was seeking. As I was reading these scriptures, I couldn't help but compare the beggar to that the other encounter that Jesus had just back up the road as well. The guy who idolized his money and walked away. Bartimaeus cried out for something money cannot buy. You see, it's not a matter of how much or how little you have. What matters is where is your faith? There are those who would say, be quiet when they cry out, when others cry out to God. But you know what? Today, we need to cry out to him more than ever. We need to put our trust and our faith in the Lord like we never have before. Our faith needs to be like that of Bartimaeus. He couldn't physically see it. He wasn't in a physical position to get to it. He didn't have the monetary means to make it his way to attain it. But he did cry out for it. He spoke it with faith, loud and clear, "Lord, have mercy on me." He wanted the mercy of God like nothing else, and God heard it. So what about us? Where is our faith today? Do we expect Jesus to interact with our faith? What category do we find ourselves? Maybe some are crying out to God because they know they either need Christ in their lives or want more of him. We who know him need to encourage them, not stifle them. We need to bring them along. We need to share what we know with those who have been lost for so long. Jeremiah reminds us, among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. You see, people will become searching for truth in all sorts of conditions. God is preparing their hearts for fulfillment in him. When they have spoken, people may have told them to be quiet. Many in the church are like the crowd who yell out his name, and we acknowledge him, but we forget how much he wants to be a part of our lives, not just on Sunday. We who know Christ need to cry out to God just as much as anybody. We need to step out in faith and take hold of the promises that he has given us. If you want to get to know God better, it's time to pray. If you want to honor God, it's time to praise him. If you want to know about him more, you need to read his word. And when we do that, we will see a difference in our lives. We will be stepping closer and closer into his presence with persistence in faith. Bartimaeus got up that morning. It was going to be just another day in the life of a beggar. But something happened. He encountered God through Jesus Christ. He had an encounter that changed his life forever. The good news is what the writer of Hebrews reminds us, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Isn't that a special word, that Jesus intercedes for us? He is ready and willing by his Spirit to work in and through us. But the problem for many of us is that we don't put our own faith into action. Paul reminds us in the first chapter of Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." He goes on to say, "The righteousness of God is revealed, and the righteous shall live by faith." Folks, that is a powerful promise given to us to live by. There is power in his word. The righteous, that is those who have been made right with God in Christ, will live by faith. God's word is spoken to us, and by faith we receive it. A life in Christ is revealed to us, and by faith we take hold of it. A life in Christ is alive, and by faith we live it out. Many will pray, but they really don't expect God to answer. After all, he's too busy for me. I don't know how many times I've heard people say that I'm just so-and-so, and God doesn't have time for me. Many will read about God, but don't really believe what the Word of God says. There is no power unless you receive it. I want us to look closer at the closing words of this chapter. Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." The faith of Bartimaeus was unleashed. It was his faith that cried out, even when he was told to be quiet. he cried out even more. It was through faith that he even knew who Jesus was, the Son of David. It was through faith that he humbly went before Jesus, "Have mercy on me." It was through faith that he submitted to Jesus and who he was, Rabboni. And it was through faith he made his request known, "I want to receive my sight." And in the end, it was through faith that he chose the way that he will go. Listen to this. And immediately he recovered his sight and he followed him on the way. The way Bartimaeus chose was to follow Jesus totally. Whatever it would take him, wherever it would take him, whatever it cost, I'm going to follow Jesus. And where was Jesus going that day? Right to the cross, where the sins of that beggar and the sins of the whole world would be nailed to a cross once and for all. I want to encourage you to take God at his word. He wants to hear from you. He wants to work in your life. He wants to use you in so many ways that you can't even imagine it. He wants to work a miracle in your life. And the biggest miracle of all is that we can know him. May our cry be, "Lord, have mercy on me. Fill me with your spirit. Lord, my faith that I live my life out to you this day. And I will follow you from this day forward." And as we continue on this journey that he has given us, let us walk by faith, knowing that he hears us, knowing that he will answer us when we cry out to him, as we seek his will for each and every one of us. He has a plan for your life, and he wants to use you in so many ways. Don't be afraid of who you are in Christ. Allow him to come alive in you. Allow his spirit to fill you with all that he has for you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what Bartimaeus cried out. "Lord, have mercy." Father, maybe somebody here who's never cried that out, who's never really sought you, who's never really sought forgiveness. Father, I ask that you would work in that person or those persons' lives right now, that you would become real to them, just as you became real to Bartimaeus. Father, I ask for all of us that you would instill in us a hunger for you. Father, allow your spirit to fill us to the brim with all with your presence and all that you have for us. Help us, Lord God, to be the people that you called us to be, not only as a parish, but as the body of Christ in this community. As we all seek the same thing, Lord. It doesn't matter if we're Episcopalian, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, non-denominational. We're all here for you, Lord. We're all calling out to you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would use us as a body in this community to reach out to the lost, to not keep them quiet, those who are calling out, Lord, not to shut them up, but to help them see the reality and the truth of who you are. So, Father, we thank you for that call. We thank you for the mandate that you gave us to go and make disciples. So, Father, we ask that you would not allow us to hinder any opportunity that would allow us to do that. And I thank you, Father. I give you honor and glory for all that you are doing in my life, in the life of each person here. So as we leave this place today, we are energized with your presence, Lord God. And we thank you, Father. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.